All right, now, everybody who's on hold to talk with Vernon Mahabal of palmistryinstitute.com and author of a couple of books, please just hold your position. And you just heard the phone number, so the rest of the evening after we conclude our interview with Vernon will be your calls. Anything you, as long as it's weird, it's totally wide open tonight, okay? Just not too weird. No more I got grabbed in the middle of the night, and it ain't fun. Not that. Just anything other than that. But that's weird. Okay, 2 minutes, please, and we'll be back with Vernon on Coast to Coast AM. Why don't we go right away to Joe, first-time caller in Charleston, South Carolina, but on hold for a while, and thank you very much for holding on. Speak with Vernon Mahabal, the Palmistry Institute man.
All right. How are you guys doing? I appreciate it.
All right. How are you?
All right. Real quick, the question is I pass by a palm reader almost every day going to work, and my question is how, when you go to speak to one of these professionals, how can you tell if they're legit or
ask them
what are
very simple questions. Very simple.
Before?
Ask them if they teach. People in my profession, if they teach, they generally know what they're doing. Ask them if they've written any books. Ask them if they do palmistry through an astrological avenue. Most of the frauds will just say, oh, I'm psychic, I'm intuitive, I don't need, you know, that kind of thing. In other words, in any profession, you know, if you go to a doctor, a lawyer, this or that, where'd you get your degree? Where'd you learn? Ask them that. Where did you learn? You know,
right.
you don't have to be defensive about it, but you can just say, hey, where did you get your training? As you go to any other practitioner of any other art, ask these people the same questions. Where did you train? Who taught you? How long have you been studying? Do you teach?
Every once in a while, you run into a real gypsy. Are they good at it? I mean, a real gypsy, Roma, you know.
Mm-hmm. Run the other way. Run. Mm. Walk. Run. Do not walk.
All right,
anybody,
there it is.
They've done more to destroy our science than any other class of practitioner. They have used people's ignorance about palmistry against the citizens. I mean, the point is that, like I said, America does not have a fabric like other cultures of knowing what is, you know, what is astrology or what is palmistry. It's coming, but, you know, it takes time. And I would just encourage people to be discriminative. And I don't mean we have to go to these people and just say, you know, be very aggressive. The point is that just like any other profession, you should ask, where did you study? Where did you get your training?
Be discerning.
Be discerning. Yeah.
Yeah. If it looks like if the person looks like they've accomplished something, you have a couple of books here, The Secret Code in Your Hands, and also the Palmistry Cards. And if someone would like these books, where may they be obtained?
They can go to Amazon. I guess my book company won't want me to say that, but you know, they can go to Amazon, Barnes and Nobles. A lot of New Age stores have them.
Okay. Good. All right. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. What about? Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
No, the thing is that the person that is giving readings to people has a very, very heavy responsibility. They have to be first class in their dealings. They can't be crude. They must be cultured. They must be refined. In the same aspects that you would expect a doctor or someone who is giving advice to you, you know, you're going to, if you hire people to help you in your life, you should expect the best when you're getting someone to tell you about your life purpose.
That makes perfect sense.
Your ability. Yeah.
Especially if you're going to follow their advice.
Exactly. Why go to some like $10 gypsy on the street? What is he or she going to tell you? I mean, you're asking for trouble.
Understood. All right, let's bring Carlos in here in Carson, California on the wild card line. Are you there?
Yes. Good evening. Hi, Vernon and John.
Hello. Hi, how are you tonight?
Hello. Vernon, I kind of disagree with you on a couple of points. You mentioned, the reptilians, the Illuminati, have a well-entrenched system that they've been building for, you know, a couple of hundred years to enslave us. They got the National Defense Authorization Act, the Military Commissions Act, the Patriot Act, John Warner Act, All these acts combined cumulatively, if you whisper, if you so much as whisper against the government, you're going to be called before military tribunals where you have no rights. I mean, drones are going to be flying over our streets here pretty soon.
Okay, can I, let me address that. You know, man proposes and God disposes. The point is that they are demonic, yes, but they don't have the karma to enslave us the way they want to do it. That's the point. That's what I see in people's hands. They may want to enslave us all they want. They may want to put us in FEMA camps. They want to give us vaccinations and kill us. The point is that we as Americans have our karma also. If it's not somebody's karma to be to be so controlled and thrown in, martial law, it's not going to happen. Yes, there will be some, and I agree with you, they've got a lot against us. But when you think about it, you know, when we band together as Americans and we fight back, I don't mean, I'm not an advocate of violence, but the point is that when we fight back with our money, with just, you know, being an objector, a conscientious objector, it will work. And I agree with you. Yeah, they've got all the guns and all this and the ammo. Big deal. They don't have, according to what I see in people's hands, they do not have the karma to take us completely over. It's going to fail. And my authorization or to say that is what I see in people's hands. It's over for them. Done. Finished. And
excellent.
You'll see.
That is a very hopeful message. All right, Daniel in Los Angeles, come upon the bridge and speak with Vernon Mahabal.
Ladies and gentlemen, you too, John B.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
I wanted to, say I think a lot of the craziness that's going on this planet is due to psychotronics. As a matter of fact, I don't think about it. I'm 100% positive about it. I write about it. I talk to the government agencies about it. And while I was on the telephone with John Stuckey, the vice president for LRADx, the guys that make the mind control equipment for the U.S. military,
okay.
I asked him what his policy was. You know, what's your guys' policy on electronic harassment here on homeland soil? You know, if there's an earthquake, if you have some sort of manual, it might say, you know, duck under the desk or evacuate.
Right, right. What did he say?
What is your specific policy? He said, we deal with an ROI. And we use a multi-layered, multi-linguistic approach. He said our main role in life is to communicate.
We use a multi-layered, multi-linguistic
approach.
Okay, but what's your question to Vernon?
My question to you is, what would your policy on psychotronic attack here on homeland soil be? And if you'd want to hear a couple points, since there is no policy, I have a policy. I'm just trying to start to write it. It's somewhat humorous. Here's a couple of points. Number one, do not put a tinfoil hat on your head.
Right.
You're on some Freemason mind control planet. Number two, send a text message to Andrea Bisaccio, the time travel attorney, with the text code RABBIT.
Oh, Lord.
Three, call up coast to coast. Tell them you're a time traveler. And that you need a sea crane radio, survival seeds, and a hybrid vehicle endorsement.
Okay.
Four, drop and give me 20 and do a crip walk. Five, Freemasons and pornographers that are playing with Mike.
All right, all right, all right, all right. I get the drift. Do you get the drift, Vernon?
No.
No, neither did I. Okay, bye. Let's see. Rob in Oklahoma City. I don't want to hear about tinfoil hats, Rob. Don't let me down.
Hey, guys. Well, I actually know a defense against mind control, but anyway, I was reading the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and these checkpoints are totally unconstitutional. But I was going to ask, do you see when we move into this new age within the next few years here, do you see like drones flying around the U.S. skies, or is that just going to end?
I'm going to say across the board, when I look at Americans' hands, I'm going to say that, yes, they're going to throw things at us. They're going to continue to do this. But they're also going to continue to lose the war on enslaving us. Like I say, as we move astrologically through this Mars period, Americans are going to just say, I've had enough. It's enough. It's over. Stop. And they're going to band together. They're going to be. We're going to become individually strong. We're going to become community strong. States are going to become stronger. There could be some, you know, social unrest. I do see that, but I just do not see in people's hands another, you know, 5 to 10 years of government enslavement and the way in which that they're trying to do it. It's over. And this is why you know, they're throwing everything out at us as much as they possibly can, because astrologically they know it's over. If you read books on astrologers during Nazi Germany, the Germans knew it was over. They had their astrologers. Churchill had his astrologers. The Japanese had their astrologers. They all had their astrologers, and they knew that it was over for Nazi Germany. And even there's certain evidence from certain astrologers that even Churchill attacked certain places in Europe when he knew it was astrologically beneficial, and the Germans knew it was over. So in the same way, you know, these elitists, they have their astrologers and they know it's over. But being demons, they're going to continue and continue and continue. But it's over, you know. America is, we've had freedom for roughly, you know, we've been a country for a long time, but roughly we've had freedom for 350 years. I don't see in people's hands that they're going to take over us that quickly. I just don't see it's going to happen. We've had that freedom. You know, you look at the hands of Americans versus the hands of people in Britain or even Germany or, you know, Asia. Freedom is a big deal in the charts of Americans. For a government to try to take it over from us, it's just not going to happen. The guns, the bombs, the this and that. The point is that what I see in people's hands is that we as Americans, when we say, and I've said this before, they're going to say, "I've had enough. It's done. It's over. Leave us alone." Otherwise, you know, you're going to hear it from us now, Americans. And I'm not saying this from a Palmistic point of view, but the point is that Americans have been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And at a certain point, Americans are going to say enough. But strictly from what I see going on in people's hands, I am saying to you that we are going to become a stronger people. We are going to become proud again. It's going to be a little bit of a fight. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to get past this. And when we do, America is going to become a strong country. And I'm proud to say that because I am an American. All my readings I do for America. In other words, you know, 99% of all my readings are for Americans. And I love this country, and I want to see this country strong again. And that's what I have to say about that.
Well, that's pretty darn strong. All right. Well, Kay in Austin, east of the Rockies. Yes. Are you there?
Yes, hi, guys. Thank you so much. I really love your guest thought process. I just wanted to run a few things through. I really think that there's an assault on education in this country where all of a sudden a college degree is not worth anything. Kids that go to college for 4 years, if it's a liberal arts thing or whatever, And that really makes me sad, because the whole point of going to college and getting educated, no matter what it is to learn how to think. And the problem, the thing that really bothers me is that there's been at least 3 Holocausts after World War II, whether it was Bosnia, we've got something going on in South Africa. I think that education has been completely assaulted by whatever, who's ever in power or whatever. And I think that whole thing is a core issue and a core situation for danger. And I really am amazed that my kids go to school. They have no concept of what happened in Bosnia or what's happened in South Africa. And we watch these, you know, man-made movies out of Los Angeles about never forget the Holocaust and all that kind of stuff. There are currently things going on where kids can get educated, kind of help or whatever. And my point with your guest is that he was talking about the human condition. He talked. He went over various topics and all that. But I'm confused as to why all of
this. I see where you're going with this, and I want to answer it in this way.
The
generations that we have right now, in other words, the kids who are like say, I read kids as young as 3 years old. Anything, in other words, the entire astrological chart is on an infant at the time of coming out of the womb. You can tell, you can look at a child and tell if they're going to be a doctor, an architect, a palmist, a race car driver. In other words, everything is on the hand. I look at kids' hands all the time. A lot of my clients bring me their sons, their daughters, and I'm constantly looking at, you know, 3 years old, 3 year olds, 10 years old, 12 year olds to see what kind of future they're going to come into. The future that they're going to come into is very, very, very different than we see right now. We know that this culture is falling apart. It's going to fall apart. And and you don't have to be a palmist or an astrologer to see that. But the type of life they're going to want is very, very different than what we are the type of life that we see now. They're going to be, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but they're going to be far more sensitive, a lot more passive in the ways of the only thing that kind of disturbs me a little bit, I would say maybe that the word disturbed, is that they're not going to be as ambitious in certain ways, but they're not going to want this type of technologically very highly driven society. They're going to want a society, like I said before, that is very much in touch with the earth, very much in touch with nature, a lot more slower. And that is, in a sense, an alignment and a tandem with an agrarian culture. The kids that I see that from like 5 to 16, they themselves are going to demand a very different type of culture. And of course, you know, I meet people all the time who are 20s, 22, 23, and they know right. So much more about, you know, conspiracy and Monsanto and all this than, you know, I never knew, you know. So, I mean, in other words, they're aware of this stuff. And one of the things about secrets is that when something is exposed, it's over. So their desires and their wants are very different than this culture. In the same way that, you know, the 50s generation wanted the two cars, all this type of stuff, but the 60s generation they became hippies. They wanted something different. And then the 80s generation wanted something completely different. So the world that it's not just the world that they're going to inherit. They are going to become much different types of people and want something different than we're seeing now. So don't worry about it.
Listen,
these things are ephemeral.
We're about to go to our hard break, Vernon. It's been a blast talking with you, and I will get a hold of you later on in the week and get the rest of that reading, okay? Very, 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 very informative stuff. I like it very much. PalmistryInstitute.com, a couple of books for your enjoyment and entertainment, Secret Code in Your Hands, and the Palmistry Cards. Vernon Mahabal, and your calls for the remainder of the program, so stand by for you. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, happy and merry, M-E-R-R-Y, restful, contented Memorial weekend to everybody. And even though Memorial Day is a few days off, you know, the actual day, this is the long weekend for it. And please accept everybody at Premier Radio Networks and your affiliate stations. Please accept our sincere gratitude for the service of those who are no longer with us. Our deepest condolences and sympathies to anyone who has a family member that's part of the memorial of late as a result of this ongoing conflict in the Middle East. We, to use a tired expression that seems to say it all, we feel you and our deepest respect for you and your sacrifice. We shall return with nothing but your call, so if you ever wanted a call, now's the time. You just heard the numbers, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes, and we'll take some on Coast to Coast AM. Chumby Wells in for Mr. George Norrie tonight, and let's do a little marathoning here. Let's do some open line chat and chatter, a waterfall of chatter. West of the Rockies, out there in Oceanside, California. Carol, are you there?
Yes. I just wanted to tell what happened when I had my palm read. We were invited in December to a Christmas party, not this December, but and it was really an incredible party. It was a Cleopatra theme, and they had camels and lots of food. And as you walked down, it was by a doctor and his wife, and they lived on the beach, Seal Beach. And as you walked down the pathway down to the sand, where the big tent was, there were all these little tents, and they had psychics and palm readers and so forth all the way down. And my husband and I, when you went to the door, you got some money, you know, to use to spend on your way. And
yes.
So we decided, oh, I think I'll get my palm read. So I went, I sat down, and my husband was with me, and we sat there and waited, and she was a little bit late. She ran in, and she said, just a minute, and she bowed her head, and she said, I always say a prayer before I do a reading. And she said a little prayer, and before she was even finished, really, she looked like she went into to shock. And she looked up at me, and she just said, oh, my God, you are going to never believe this. You are, you know, something horrible is going to happen. And I just can't tell you, you're going to think your whole world is gone, you know, and
right.
It's so horrible. And she said, do you have two sons? And I said, yes. And she said, oh, my gosh. She says, well, something horrible is going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
I want you to know that when this happens and you think it's the end of the world, please remember my words. She said, please remember that everything's going to turn out okay. And so it wasn't probably much longer, a month or two, and our son, our straight-A student and honor roll and track star and, you know, everything else, the editor of the newspaper, who we'd never think would ever get hurt, got in an accident, and he had a kid have two brain surgeries, and he was in a coma, and I was at the hospital, and I was just terrified. I was just so, I just was beside myself.
I can imagine.
And it was really horrible. And about 3 days passed in his coma, and I was just praying and praying and praying, and all of a sudden I just realized, and I thought to myself, the palm reader, she told me something horrible was going to happen. I never would have dreamed this happened. I didn't think about it again, you know. And she said, just remember one thing. Everything's going to turn out okay. Everything's going to be okay, Carol. Everything's going to be okay. So I walked down to where my son was still in the, you know, intensive care and so forth. And he had tubes running out of his head and so forth. And it was awful. And my mother was there. And we were standing over my son. And he just, all of a sudden, he just sprung up, you know, and he said, I don't want to take a shower, and we just looked at him so shocked, and he looked like he was just fine, you know, he just sat up, and it was so surprising, you know, and he was ill for probably a year. He had a home teacher and about seven therapists, and he had to go to therapy, and he was couldn't walk, couldn't do all these things, but he remained an honor student, and he went to USC. He became a really good executive, and he just, you know, he turned into a more tenacious person than ever. But
that's fantastic.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I never really thought anything like that could be, you know, that someone could tell me something was horrible, my life was over, you know, I mean, that I felt like that, and I did, and it just happened like that, and I wanted to express it, because it was really a reading, and I really learned something from it.
Well, that's fantastic, Carol, and I'm delighted that you called, and I'm very, very happy that everything worked out all right. Take care of yourself, would you? And best to you and your family. All right, Beth in Denver, Mile High.
Well, hello, and I certainly have enjoyed your guest tonight. We need to hear him at least once a week. He was so inspiring. He made me feel so much better. Your screener is so lovely, and your music is beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for your kind comments.
The, the thing I wanted to ask him, and so I'll just mention it to you, was I always wondered why someone as smart as Clinton deregulated banking. I could never reconcile that with his intelligence. And I wonder, did he get the keys to the kingdom? Was he blackmailed? What in the world? And I would have loved to have asked your guest that question.
And well, I'll tell you, you know.
What do you think about it?
The plain fact of the matter is that I've slept several times since those days, and not having paid a lot of attention to it at the time, I really couldn't comment on it now, but I suppose the reason for the deregulation was to stimulate the business. When you deregulate, that means there are fewer regulations, which means you can, to some degree,
right.
make things up as you go along.
He brought down Glass-Steagall, which Roosevelt put in place, of course, which served us so well for so many years.
Well, you can see, basically, it was laying the groundwork for the unbelievable fiasco we have now.
Right. And knowing how intelligent he was, I just thought he really needs us to give us an explanation for that. And he did so well in so many areas. I always will wonder about that. So if your guest is ever on again, I'd love somebody to ask him that question, because I think he might have had an answer. But anyway, he was so uplifting. He, you know, and what he said about people, my daughter and my family, about the Aguarians, that they're, you know, they have other jobs, but they're thinking, we need to get some land where we can raise some crops and grow things, you know, just in case for our own benefit. And it's strange, because this is the way their mind is working. And so I thought, gee, that certainly is the way that people are thinking that way. So anyway, thank you for the program, and you are so good. You are so good at what you do.
You're so very kind.
And thank you so much, and I'll be listening.
Well, thank you very much, and good to have you with us. Well, what a nice lady. Well, you know, Iceland, as you may know, already they decided to just zero out the mortgage debt. And I keep coming back to this. If money really is created and disappeared with the stroke of a pen, what would happen if we just zeroed it out and started from where we are? I don't think the operation would skip a beat, since basically they're making it up as they go along, or so it would seem. Kay in Pasadena on the wild card line.
Hey, John. How are you this evening?
It's fantastic. How are you?
I am great. I was trying to go to sleep. I should never turn the radio on when I'm trying to go to sleep, because you guys always wake me up.
You should always turn the radio on. You can sleep later.
I love you guys. Well, but I'm a member of your group. I can listen to it during the day, but it's so fascinating. But I had to call you, John. I read a book, and your lovely screener said I could discuss it with you, because it's a New York Times bestseller, and at the top there's quotes of the book is extraordinary, the book is stunning, and the
yes.
final guy says it's mind-blowing. And basically, as far as I'm concerned, it's absolutely mind-blowing.
Really?
I'm hoping that you will be able to get this gentleman on your show.
What book is this?
It's called The Harbinger.
Oh, yes, I've heard of this.
Oh, wow.
There are plans to have the author on the program.
I'd
be very surprised if Mr. Norrie hasn't interviewed him already.
Boy, if he did and I missed it, I'm going to have to go check your shows and listen to it. But basically, it's you want to know the future. Talk about getting your socks knocked off. This guy's got it down to his science. Basically, our nation this is happening because it's a prophecy that was placed on ancient Israel thousands of years ago, and America is following it exactly to the minute, to the day, to the description. And he takes the story of what happened in Israel, and then he brings it, and this is what happened in America. And it is absolutely, I mean, every time you turn the page, you go, oh, my God.
Yeah, this is Jonathan Kahn's book.
Yes. And for your listeners, if you want to understand what's going on in our nation and the, you know, everything that was right is now wrong and everything was wrong is now right, this is why. This prophecy had to be quoted by leaders of our nation at least twice. This Isaiah 9:10.
Yes.
It's a very short four-line prophecy. And by golly, it was said three times by the Speaker of the House. It was said the day after 9/11. This all ties into the falling down of the towers on 9/11. And he takes it through our financial community collapsing and why that's happening. And it's odd that you would say, John, about the couldn't we just write it off? In the movie Isaiah 9:10, The Judgment, he was talking about that every year, or I believe maybe it's every 7 years, there's a certain day where the Jews write off their debt, whether someone owes you or you owe someone, that particular day, it's gone. It's over. You start out fresh. And I thought, wow, isn't that an interesting idea, huh?
Well, it really is, because there are two problems. One of them is people tend to think that things are just going to go on as they have gone. Exactly. And the other problem to go along with that is that, well, let's go ahead and do all we can just in case it doesn't go on, but let's stick with the current paradigm. And that's the recipe for disaster, in my opinion, right there, is just...
Absolutely. That's where we're going to get destroyed, because everybody says, you know, I've heard this over and over. When you read this book, you're going to understand, nope, not this time. Not this time. Doggone, there was one other thing I wanted to mention to you about this, because... can I give you one example?
Please.
In ancient Israel... They were building, they had gods that they were admiring, and they were actually sacrificing their children to these gods.
Yes.
So Jonathan says to this gentleman who's explaining to him what is occurring, he said, well, we're not sacrificing our children. He said, you're not? How many millions of babies are aborted every year?
Right, right.
And this is what he does to you in every instance of the four lines that he talks about. And I learned a lot of history. It was fascinating that the church that stands on the land, St. Paul's Chapel, I think it's called, it stands on the land, and that church once owned the land that the trade towers was on.
Oh, is that right?
So that church was saved by a sycamore tree. And the sycamore tree and the cedar trees have a great deal to do with this story. And I got to tell you, John, mind-blowing is about the only way I can describe it. I think your young lady there told me that they're going to try to get Jonathan Kahn on. I so hope you do, because...
We'll work on it.
Be amazed.
Especially now, I'm about due to have my mind blown. In fact, some people would say that's already been done. Anyway, thank you very much, Kay. Take care, and thank you so much for calling. John in Tulsa, you were also on the wild card line. Are we feeling wild tonight?
Well, not too terribly wild. How are you doing this evening?
Wildness under control. Restrained wildness, yes.
I had a question. I'm a long-time listener, and here for a number of weeks, I haven't heard Ross Mitchell.
Yes.
Would you know if he's not ill or anything, is he?
No, he's not ill at all. Ross has moved on to other ventures. More, I am not really at liberty to say, because, well, it would be indiscreet, but... No, he was basically made an offer that he couldn't refuse, and he didn't. And we wish him well, and I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah, best wishes out to him.
Yeah.
And I know that Friday nights is the prayer line, and I put in a name through the screener that I wanted to put on the prayer line. And I want to let everybody know that it works. The reason I know this, the same person that I put his name in tonight, a couple of months ago, he had a massive heart attack. And they went to put in a stent, and, you know, they go in through the vein, and the one vein they went through just shredded.
Really?
And they put it off for a few more days that, you know, they couldn't continue once that took place. And they went back in a few days later, and the vein that had shredded was back. They said, it, you know, there's no way that can happen. But it did. And that was after having his name put on the prayer line on a Friday night with all the Coast to Coast listeners.
Wow, that's amazing.
He's, you know, even though that miracle took place, he's still in, you know, dire straits. He's not doing well. He's going in for another operation, I think, within a week. I think they're going to put a defibrillator in. He's been wearing one. They're going to install one inside of him, I think. So I'm just asking for more prayers for him. And, you know, hopefully we'll get another miracle.
Well, we'll look for that. And I am sure that there are people praying for him right now. Thank you very much for your call. That's very, very, very nice. Got anybody else there, Daniel, or shall I read the phone book? Yeah, Lisa Huntington, West Virginia.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And yourself?
Oh, just, I like to say, too good for my own good.
Well, I'm glad I finally met you, and I'm your number one fan. So just to tell you, I always listen when you're on. I always listen anyway, though.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. That's nice and fair. Well, so what's on your mind? Anything in the next 30 seconds you can tell me before we go to the hard break and it just cuts us both off?
I was just curious about the reptilians that the last guy that your guest was mentioning, where he thought they were and what interest they have in us, and where did all that come from? That's what I was going to ask you about.
Gotcha. I appreciate that. Well, I'll tell you the truth, Lisa. I am a Missouri-born Texan, which means first it starts off show me, and then it turns into now look. So there are quite a lot of people who study intently and intensely the reptilian aspect of earthly existence. But I haven't seen one yet. So I'm inclined to just reserve a comment until somebody who's really into it joins us on the bridge of the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM.